Good morning, Peace Church, and welcome to worship. If you're joining us on YouTube this morning, click on the link in the description below to check in. If you're joining us on Facebook, that link can be found in the comments. No matter how you're joining us, we would love to know that you've worshiped with us this morning. You will also find other helpful links, such as our online giving portal and prayer request submission. If you are still able, you can continue to send in any contributions through the mail or give electronically by visiting www.peacechurch.org/give. If you know of someone that doesn't have access to a computer, we encourage you to call them and worship with them over the phone. We want to make sure that everyone is still connected during this time when we are urged to stay apart. Lastly, if we can be of any assistance during this time, please don't hesitate to contact the church office. From all of us here at Peace, thank you for joining us this morning. Now let's begin worship with the singing of our opening hymn.
We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said I would confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Let us now take a moment of silent reflection. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ.
O most gracious God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
Amen. The Holy Gospel lesson today comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 14. When Jesus had heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
A few years ago, I met Debbie. Debbie's a mom, Lutheran, sits in a pew with her 3 kids and husband, and she had a dream. She had a desire to do something. You see, an organization called 5-2 had come to her church and talked about starting new ministries, and she had been thinking about starting a new ministry for a while, but she knew she couldn't do it on her own. So when this speaker came and spoke on it, she signed on and said, "Well, I'm interested." And there's training coming to her church on how do you start new ministries. And she also needed to pick a coach. She picked me as her coach. She interviewed me, and she decided that I had the right nonprofit experience for her. And so she picked me as a coach. And I had my first conversation with her on the phone, and I asked her, I said, "Debbie, what is it that you want to start?" And I'm going to coach her for 2 years to help her start and launch this new ministry. And Debbie said, "I used to be a cop, and I always was working with traffic girls in downtown Detroit." She lives in Troy, Michigan. And she said, "I always wanted to work with them, and now that I'm out, I'm not a police officer anymore, I would like to start something for those girls, but I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to do." I said, "Well, what's your dream? What is it that you want to do?" She said, I would like for there to be a place, some place where these girls can find respite and shelter and be able to hide away from those that are trying to abuse them." And then so we discussed a plan, and soon we started working through that plan. And next thing I knew is she applied for a grant, and she got to be the finalist. And she was a finalist for the top new nonprofits in the city of Detroit. And the next week, I get a phone call from her, and she said, "I won," and she got it. And that helped her. And then the Michigan District was able to help her with a grant also. And they got started. They started going out in the streets and meeting these women. And it was an amazing experience for her. And people started getting excited and joining her as volunteers. And a van was donated. A house was donated. They started remodeling that house. And it just grew and grew and grew. Right now, they go out at least once or twice a week into the streets, into the neighborhoods where a lot of these girls live, and they feed them. They give them a lunch pack, and then they refer them to a doctor, a ministry that helps them with their health. And then they also pray with them and counsel them. And sometimes they're cold, they need clothing, so they have clothes in the back, and they're able to share with them clothes. And slowly but surely, she and her team started building relationships with these people, these women, and started ministering to them. I had the opportunity to go and visit, and I got to go in the van with them and see all that they were doing. I was just so amazed. And we got to meet one lady, and she had just built a relationship with Debbie, and Debbie with her, and she said, "I need some clothes," and I saw her coming to the back of the van, got some clothes, we gave her food, and, you know, just the unity and the love and respect she had for Debbie and Debbie for her was just wonderful, and then we prayed over her. So I came home from Detroit back here to DFW, and a few days later, I get a phone call from Debbie, and she said, "Pastor Oscar, I have some really bad news. This lady that we met that was amazing and wonderful and we prayed with, and her faith started growing, and all these wonderful things about her, she was killed this weekend. And she was shot, and they found her. And the police didn't know a lot about her, but they were able to have Debbie come and help them. And Debbie was the one who actually was able to give a message to the family at a funeral about the hope and the faith and how she started believing and trusting in Christ through her relationship with Debbie. And that was really hopeful and good news for the family that one day they will hopefully see her again. But how is it that a Lutheran mom sitting in the pew with her kids on a Sunday becomes this amazing nonprofit leader? That ministry has grown. She's been asked to speak all over the country. And we have seen her flourish. How does that happen? How does that work? Well, I want to show you this morning a passage in Matthew where Jesus takes the disciples through an experience that they weren't expecting so that they can see who he really is and two, how capable they are of doing amazing things for God and helping other people. Many of us have been stuck at home, and we don't even get to come to church. We don't even get to go a lot of places anymore. And maybe that's you this morning who feel like, well, there's nothing for me to do. I can't help anybody else. I can't go anywhere. I can't go do all these things. So I'm stuck here at home. My belief is that God has something for you to do, for you, whether it's making phone calls, whether it's praying, doing other things that you could do for him and for the kingdom to help other people during this time. And you're not stuck. God has a purpose for you even now, even through all these things. Before I start looking at scripture and helping us develop a sense of what Jesus is talking about, I want us to pray so that we together can understand what Jesus is saying and so that we can have the right mindset that Christ had and then so we can act and do what he's called us to do. Would you join me in prayer? Jesus, we come to you this morning again, seeking you, asking you, Lord, that you would enlighten us, that you would bring to mind, Lord, the things that you want us to think about. Help us believe at a deeper level that you are our God and that you're in control and that you control everything. Help us come to the belief of what you say in your word, that we are yours and that you have a good plan and a good purpose for our life, even through all the trials that we are going through as a nation and as people, as families. May our faith grow and may our ministry to other people increase. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the story here in Matthew chapter 14 is one that some of you maybe have heard many times before. And I want you to pay attention, even though you know the facts of the story, I want you to pay attention to special insights that I'm going to try to lift up through the scriptures, but also figuring out what is it that God wants me to understand deeper or something even new that I haven't thought about before. And then finally, what is it that God wants you to do? Well, Matthew takes us here to the story of Jesus and the disciples. And what had happened already, the background on that, is that he had sent the disciples in groups of two, and they were supposed to knock on doors and be able to proclaim that the kingdom of God was coming and is here. And these people were supposed to believe in Jesus and then come to Jesus, physically come to him to hear from him. So he sent the disciples with nothing on them. Not an extra coat, nothing extra, just go as you are and no money, and people will take care of you as you go by faith. God will take care of you through the people. And as disciples leave, while they were gone, Jesus hears the news that Herod had beheaded John the Baptist. And it was awful, awful news for Jesus. Not only was his cousin and the prophet that brought him in dead, but he died in such a horrific way. And he was in this shock moment when the disciples come back. And they are coming back excited. They are so excited because they had gone and people had actually taken care of them and they had proclaimed the good news of the gospel. And many had responded. In fact, they had also healed the sick and cast out demons. They were so shocked and excited, not knowing that John the Baptist had just been beheaded. So Jesus hears them and says to them, "Let us get away. Let us get away to a lonely place, a solitary place." And they withdrew, the scripture said, privately to this place. They got on a boat and they went off on the lake. Crowds of people had followed the disciples to Jesus. And Jesus took the disciples and went off on this boat. And the scriptures tells us, and this is recorded in several of the gospels, we read that they had seen Jesus and disciples on a boat. And so they started going around the lake trying to get to the place they were going to land to meet Jesus there. What that tells me is that the disciples were successful. They ventured out on their own, followed the commands of Jesus, and people did listen to them and came to faith. And many times for you and I, when we think about our faith and sharing our faith, we think, well, who's going to listen to me? No one's going to listen to me. If I say something about God or church or share with them the gospel, will anybody hear them? They have. For centuries, thousands of people have come to faith, mostly through one-on-one sharing of Christ. It hasn't been through big crowds and crusades. It happens in small places. Sometimes one or two people, three people sharing with somebody else. And the disciples were excited, but they had to hear this news. So they go off in a boat, and Jesus shares with them the news. He shares with them the news, and in that time of grief, Jesus made sure of a couple things. First is that the disciples get the rest that they need. They were on this super high, Jesus was in a super low, and both needed rest. Some of us have been going through that recently. Whether your business is thriving, whether your family is hurting, whether it's health, personal, relationships, whatever it is, many people are grieving right now the situation that they're in. Some of you have maybe lost a job or your health. I was just praying with someone on my way here to do this sermon about how she has COVID and her father has COVID and her mother-in-law has COVID and how they're all stuck at home and been in the hospital and it's been so difficult for the whole family what's been happening. Maybe that's you. Maybe there's a lot of difficulty and you've been struggling. And to follow the example of Jesus is to say, maybe it's time to get away, to rest. And some of you have done great doing that this summer here where you live and taking vacations and going off to a park or to a lake house or somewhere like that. And I commend you for that. Some of us haven't. And maybe it's time for us to do that, to remember it's part of God's work for us to take some time to rest and take care of ourselves. I want you to know that it doesn't take a long time. For Jesus and the disciples, it was a short boat trip, maybe a couple hours, for them to be gone away. But that was enough to refresh them. In fact, one of the Gospels explains that he gave them something to eat too. And they took care of the bodies, and they took care of their minds and their spirits and made sure they were set for the next part of what they were going to do. They were really resting for the upcoming ministry. Some of us work and work and work and work until we're exhausted, and then we get rest. They were rest. Jesus was making sure they got rest so that they can go out and give and do the ministry that they were going to do. So they land on the other side of the lake. And lo and behold, the whole crowd is there waiting for them. Now, I think about the possibilities of what Jesus could have done. He could have sent them away and said, "We need more time. We need more rest," but he didn't. In fact, the scriptures say to us that Jesus had compassion on them. In Mark, he tells us that he had compassion on them. And he looked at the crowds and he felt compassion on them and he healed the sick. and he took care of them. Jesus was in a place of grief of a family member, a close family member who he grew up with, who he loved, lost his life in a horrible way, and yet Jesus ministered to other people. He had enough rest to be able to care for others. And so he heals them, and he has compassion on them. And as evening was approaching, the disciples came to him. And I'm really proud of the disciples. They were thinking the needs of these people in this crowd. Instead of just thinking about their own needs, they think about them, and they notice that it's late. And they say to Jesus, "Jesus, this is a remote place. It's getting late. Let's send them away so they can get some food because they need to eat." They already ate, of course, on the boat. And Jesus said, "No, they don't need to go away. I know myself when I'm tired, and especially after a Sunday, I'm exhausted. I'm just not wanting to do more, but sometimes there's a need. And there's a sense of trusting God that he's going to take care of you later on. Just fulfill that need. For you parents, you know this very well. You do this all the time with your kids, where you will be the last one to eat, where you'll say, "No, you guys go ahead and eat. I'll eat later, though you're hungry," because of your compassion and your love for your kids. In the same way, God thinks about you as his kid, as his child, taking care of you first, making sure you're okay. He loves you that much. So here in this passage, we see that Jesus says these words, not only don't send them away, but he shocks them and says, "You give them something to eat." Now, later on, we read how many people were here. We're talking 5,000 men plus the women and children. It could have been 12, 15, 20,000 people. And Jesus tells the disciples, "No, you feed them. Like I fed you, you feed them." How are they going to feed that many people? The disciples were shocked at these words from Jesus. In fact, they, in another of the Gospels, they say to themselves, "Wow, it would take a year's salary to feed that many people. Where are we going to get that kind of food?" And so Jesus says to them, "Go and see. Go and see. Go look for food. Go find food." So the disciples go out. And that was really wise of Jesus. And one of the principles that we need to think about, that many times we have all the resources we need to take care of other people's needs. We might look at our own resources and go, "Well, I can't help this person," or "I don't know what to say," or "I don't have enough money," or "I don't have enough of this or that." But if God calls us to meet a need, many times we just have to knock on some doors. We have to look around for those resources. And we will be shocked at how many resources are around us, close by to us, to meet those needs of people that God brings to us. Well, the disciples found this young boy who had a lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fish. I don't know how exactly it happened. I sometimes imagine that little boy being surrounded by 12 grown men looking at his lunch. I mean, did he really have a choice? I don't know. I can imagine him saying, "Of course, take it." How is he going to refuse these 12 men who say Jesus needs that food? I wonder what he said to his mom when he got home. "Hey, Mom, did you eat your lunch?" "Yes, Mom, I ate my lunch, and I ate so much." "You did? But you had just 5 loaves and 2 fish. "Yeah, Mom, but you won't guess what happened." And then he tells her the story of the disciples taking his lunch and then Jesus multiplying it for the whole crowd. Wow. I'm sure Mom was thinking, "You're making a story up, but let me confirm that with other people." I bet that boy never forgot the story. I bet that boy lived with that story in his life about bringing things to Jesus and how he can multiply things like that. So the disciples brought the food to Jesus. It was enough for a little boy, but there's no way you can feed a family, much less 5,000 men, much less 5,000 men plus women and children. Why did Jesus do this? He could have easily sent them away. I believe Jesus did this because the disciples needed this. They needed it once again after the news of John the Baptist. They were thinking, is Jesus next? Will he be killed? Will we be killed? I'm sure that the death of John the Baptist shook them. And they were worried about their own life, about the movement that Jesus had started. They had bought into it. They were now in it, and they needed their faith to be built up again. Many times you and I are disappointed. We think God has a plan, and we start following him, and then things don't work out exactly how we thought. And we might be tempted to start doubting Jesus and his favor to us, or his plan, or his goodness, or his power. And that's where the disciples were. They were having some major doubts. So Jesus allowed them to participate in this miracle because Jesus easily could have said, hey, that little boy has a lunch, let me go grab it. He had them be part of finding the food themselves. And then they're the ones who brought it to Jesus. And then they're the ones who distributed the miraculous meal to the people. Jesus made sure that they were part of every step of that miracle so that they would be able to really feel and sense the power of this miracle. That Jesus was not playing some trick on the side, that he didn't have food stashed away anywhere, that they actually saw the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. They carried them to Jesus, and they saw him just right then give thanks to God and then miraculously multiply it. They saw it for themselves. And so that when Jesus was gone, when they had doubts, when they got persecuted, they knew beyond a doubt that Jesus was God. And their faith was strong based not just on his words, but also on his works. And these next 5 weeks, we're going to be studying the works and the words of Jesus and how amazing they are. He says things over and over again that shock the disciples and shock us. Go get food ourselves for these thousands of people? What? I bet the disciples had a saying something like, that's Jesus crazy talk. You know, like my kids have with me or my wife when we post something or send them a text of saying some wisdom, they say, oh, that's a mom post. Oh, that's a dad post. Or that's a dad joke. They label things. I'm sure the disciples started labeling some of these words of Jesus. Here we see that the crazy words was, no, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. God is doing something in you. And he's doing something in your life. And he might present you with an impossible task. And you might think, there's no way I can do that. There's no way I can accomplish that. And you're probably right in your own power. You probably can't. And God is not asking you to trust in your own power, in your own experience. He's asking you to trust him. That he will work in you and through you as you believe what he has said in his word. So there's a neighbor that you maybe haven't reached out to yet during this pandemic. Maybe through the whole race problems, you haven't reached out to a neighbor who maybe is a person of color. And maybe it's time for you to call them and just say, how are you doing? Are you doing okay? Do you know that I love you and I support you and I'm here for you? I'm praying for you. Or maybe it's somebody who has had some health problems and they haven't been able to go anywhere, and just to call them again. And some of you need that faith to take a risk. Take a risk with people to see how they're doing and see if there's a need out there that you can meet. Maybe you have friends or family members who have kids and they're struggling whether they should send them back to school or not. Or maybe they're struggling with how to keep their family or the kids safe. Maybe you just take a call and say, hey, I know this is a struggle for you. If I was in your shoes, I would need prayer. I'm going to be praying for you. What else can I help you with? Is there anything else I can help you with? Give them something to eat. Crazy Jesus talk. The New Testament's full of it. Full of these sayings and things that Jesus says and does that are so counterintuitive the way you and I think, but they are the way of life. Disciples ended up having the thousands sit in groups of 50, hundreds or more, and that way they could count them. And there was this sense of order, even in the chaos of this exercise to go look for food and feed these people, Jesus still had order in the way things were going to be done. And of course, we know that afterwards, how many baskets did they have left over? You see, we have a God that not just meets the needs of people. Everybody had enough to eat. They had 12 baskets of leftovers. I love leftovers. I love when we have leftovers because it makes it easy to pop in the microwave and have a meal right away. Well, they had 12 baskets full, and it reminds me of the kind of God that you and I serve. We have a God that shows us in the Bible that not only does he meet our needs, he overflows us with our provisions that we need. He's an overflowing God. Just like last week, we talked about how our God is not makes us not just conquerors, he makes us super conquerors, more than conquerors in his provision. Not only does he provide enough for you, sometimes he provides even more, to where he talks about how you have a cup and it's just overflowing. That's who God is. He loves to shock us and surprise us, not just with a task, but then with overflowing provision. So don't doubt. God has a purpose. God loves you. And if he asks you and prompts you inside to meet a need in your community with a family member, with a friend, with a neighbor, that he will provide for you, and he might even overflow you with provision. In fact, in Malachi, he says, test me, bring your tithes and offerings, and just test me. And see if I don't open the floodgates of heaven on you. Generosity is a way to say thanks to God for his provision. But it's also a way that God loves to provide for you not just what you need, but incredible amounts of faith. May this week for you be one of trust, be one of faith, be one of you taking a step forward, and a place where you trust in God's provision. Have a great week.
We confess our faith now together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Join me this morning as we pray for the church and for the whole people of God everywhere. Most gracious and everlasting Father, Alpha and Omega, the one who was and who is and who is to come. The God who neither sleeps nor slumber. Have mercy upon us, O God, and blot out our transgressions. According to your steadfast love, wash us of our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. When our heart is overwhelmed, lead us to the rock that is higher than us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With contrite hearts and broken spirits, we come to you this morning, O God, pleading for peace, comfort, and healing for all who are sick and afflicted in our midst. Even as your word declares that healing is the children's bread, we say this day, give us our daily bread and remember us in our season of affliction. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As it is no secret that as a nation, as a people, as a church, and as a family, we are faced with some of the most trying and uncertain times our world has ever seen. We pray for wisdom, for understanding, for tolerance, and for reconciliation in this hour, Lord. Even as we are concerned about safety and order and peaceful coexistence, I pray that you cause us, the church, the ambassadors of Christ in the earth, to be equally as concerned about justice, about equality, and about righteousness. Break our hearts for the things that break your hearts. Break our hearts for the things that break yours. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Once again, we present our families to you, Lord Jesus. Keep them, protect them, and deliver them from all evil, seen and unseen. We cancel every evil assignment and uproot every demonic entrapment the enemy has designed for our children and our loved ones. We lift up our country, our leaders, our military and police, our first responders, and all those on the front lines of protecting and securing our well-being. Remember them, O God, and let there be a prodigious outpouring of your grace, mercy, peace, love, and protection upon them all. May they feel you nearer to them every hour of every day in every way. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In closing, Lord, we lift up Peace Church, your people, your congregation, as well as the church universal. May we be known for our love for God and our neighbor. May we embrace your call for our lives and learn to walk upright before you, showing mercy, loving justice, reflecting your great love, and spreading the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray when we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now hear these words from Jude. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.